Bart Isley with the Scrimmage Play Podcast. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman. We're ready to talk about some more football. No question. Another a very different week this week in Central Virginia football. So we'll kind of start with breaking it down with who had the best week. And I think this one is pretty obvious.
Yeah, it's hard not to point to Fluvanna. I mean, just a really big win for this program that needed one badly. And you got to feel happy for that the players on that roster that have sort of endured this ride. And Grooms, what a week this kid had. I mean, just what, 265 on the ground, I think. Yeah. Huge week for them, and gets... It was a week where there was a lot of teams on taking a bye, so the spotlight was on Fluvanna, winnable game here, they get it done, and I think this just means a tremendous amount to this program.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you look, it's a lot of guys who have been in the lineup for a couple of years now that stretch back even before Steve Smarzak as the head coach. Mm-hmm. You know, Grooms has been a guy who's been around since he was a freshman. Some of the other guys have been factors for a while as well. And Grooms just put, you know, the whole team on his back. I mean, he comes back after getting hurt. He keeps just chugging along. He's a guy that's been willing to play whatever position they want him to play. Obviously, he's a natural running back, I think, in a lot of ways. I mean, that's where he kind of made an impact early as a freshman. They used him a little bit as a sort of wildcat quarterback, and then slowly he's become the guy. I mean, sometimes in a program, you just got to put your best athlete behind center and say, let him make plays. And Grooms did it. And he did it on Friday in a big way. Really exciting to see. Just a huge lift. You know, I've told a couple of people that's one of the most fun things about doing scrimmage play is that seeing these kind of moments where an entire community gets a boost from that. It's really cool to see. 19 games is a long time to keep losing, and to pull it out and to get it done, pretty impressive.
And I think that's why it's important it happened in week two, having a win like that happen early, because there's always more buzz around football for a team like Fluvanna in this situation. Up front, and if they struggle early, the fans aren't going to be there in the same way in week eight that they were week two. So I think it's good for them, good for that community. Really sort of lifts everybody's spirits.
Impressive job by the coaching staff, players, everybody out there to just to kind of get it done. And certainly. Very cool to see. You know, you had the whole crowd rush and everything. It's been a long time since they were able to really do that. And, you know, it's fun. And, like, is this the spark that can kind of get them going? Like, that remains to be seen.
Well, I'm sure the rest of the Jefferson District is just as excited about this win as Fluvanna.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, it means a lot trying to bring up the level of competition in a year that we think is just going to be bonkers, where everybody beats everybody. If Fluvanna was... To be able to throw in their hat into the mix and make things interesting, that would be absolutely enormous.
Yeah, I think that you don't want to see a program go through stretches like that. It's not good for anybody. You know, you don't want them. You know, it's not good for them. It's not good for the other teams that have to play them that are, you know, relying on them for their power points and that kind of thing. So, really cool to see and great to see them sort of pull it off. A few other teams, though, had really good weeks as well.
You got to see one of them.
Yeah, Goochland. You got to give it to the Bulldogs. Get it done against Fork Union. You know, 2 weeks in a row, they played teams that decided to take away very different parts of what they do. Essex sat a couple of Joe Fowler out of Goochland described him as a 450-pound tackle. I don't know if it's he's quite 450, but I don't know if he was a quarter ton. But he certainly – they had a huge defensive tackle, and then they had another big defensive tackle. And pretty much there's no sledding for them up the middle. I mean, it was just impossible to get it done. So they had to kind of do a little bit on the edge, but they were struggling with that as well. Not a great offensive night for them against Essex. But against Fork Union, things looked a little better. Marcus Burton really got going up the middle. He's a guy who can, you know, when he gets it, he's tough. He's a tough load to bring down. He keeps chugging. He kind of keeps moving through the line. Always keeps his knee, you know, his feet moving. He's a tough egg. And you know, Fork Union went out of their way to kind of take away the edge, and they did that with Iosefa Puali. I think I'm close there.
I think, yeah, close.
The Hawaiian name is a tough one for me, but they moved him out to outside, you know, linebacker, and sort of used him on the edge a little bit, and he just erased the sweep. Incredible work by him. And I think that Goochland did a nice job of doing enough to keep him out there on the edge rather than them shifting him back into the middle, which allowed Burton to kind of get things going. And the offensive line, tremendous effort by the offensive line for Goochland, who kind of kept things open in the middle, allowed Burton to work and then allowed his backup to work. I mean, you know, a lot of those guys really made some plays and they were able to really get it going out there.
Yeah, and kind of a barometer game for Goochland, right? I mean, I think that Fork Union's taken three of the last four. And that's usually sort of a good test for them before they jump into the James River mix. And Goochland, aside from the loss to Buckingham last year, has pretty much owned the James River for the last 10 years. Yeah. And the exception being the 2 years where they were in the JD, and one of those years they went crazy in that year in 2009. But yeah, I think them coming out and beating Essex up front, all on defense there, beating Goochland with a little bit more of a mix here, this is a sign of a team that's growing, that was probably already good to start.
Yeah, I think that they were a team that maybe even Joe Fowler wasn't really sure exactly who they would be, but they've really risen to the occasion in the last 2 weeks, won in very different ways. I mean, it's a team that clearly wants it. Those are some guys who have been named, who have been around for a little while, and Burton and Calvin Martin, who's been just, you know, really, when he can get to the edge, is tremendous. Couldn't against Fork Union, but made an interception. You know, the guy who kind of stepped up big, and Cordell Maddox has been a factor for a long time. So really exciting to see. That's a good little core that they've got, and I think that, you know, things are starting to really come together for them.
Yeah, and I think a couple other winners we can throw to that mix, and there weren't a lot this week. This was a pretty tough week.
Real tough week for Central Virginia, yeah.
Not the showing that we had in week one, that's for certain. But you look at Albemarle coming back and beating Kettle Run on the road. That's a big win for that program. They needed that to get off on the right foot and head in the right direction. And then Woodbury on the road as well, beating Bishop McNamara on Saturday. That was very good for that program. I don't think that they were quite underdogs going into that game, but that's still a tough game to win. And it looks like Air Woodbury is alive and well in that.
Yeah, give us some idea. How good is Bishop McNamara?
I mean, seeing them last year, they graduated a lot of talent last year, but they had kids all over the field last year. It took Woodbury a solid three quarters to figure out what was going on defensively, and that's a very smart Woodbury staff. Mm-hmm. They adjust very quickly. But McNamara, they're on the playing field with Woodbury in terms. They're ranked. They're the highest ranked team in their area, so everybody expects big things from them this year. They only lost one game last year, and it was to Woodbury. So this is a very good program, but I think Woodbury's just got like a little bit more of an edge just because of what they returned last year. So many pieces back on that offense that's just truly dynamic and has someone pulling the trigger that I think is one of the most accurate high school quarterbacks I've ever seen. That means a lot. When you can throw like that, I would think 355 yards for Lindell Stone.
They may have been closer to like 395. It was nuts.
Yeah, so that's absurd, especially out of week one. Yeah. This is a team that's only been scrimmaging and practicing a little bit. They haven't really gone out there and test-driven what they've got. And to be able to come out like that in week one, that bodes well for them going ahead.
That kind of easily transitions us into players who had big weeks. Let's start with Lindell. Three touchdowns to Terrell Janna, another one that was the game winner to Khalid Thomas. You had said, you know, in a couple of podcasts ago how you thought Khalid was potentially a breakout player. He comes up clutch for him this week.
Yeah, the big thing, Lindell's favorite target for the last 2 years was Zach Roderick, and with the graduation of him, who was going to step up, and so it looks like Khalid is going to be that guy. Terrell Janna is going to lead this team in receiving yards. I'm fairly certain among that.
Yeah.
A big name player there, head of DVA, him and Stone. I think having Khalid as a second option, John Kervin also, yeah, he's playing both ways, so we'll see how many snaps he gets at tight end. But that's a big target. They just have a lot of pieces they can move around. And then this is still a program that is dedicated to the run.
Yeah.
But what I like about, like we saw last year, the play calling when it comes to the passing game, is they go for the jugular.
Yeah.
There's a lot of double moves, a lot of throwing downfield. These are not little dink and dunk passes. This is going over the top and really getting aggressive when they decide to do so.
you better be ready to turn and run if you're a defensive back going against Woodbury Forest, because they're gonna take you vertical.
And if you're playing with one safety, you are in trouble.
Yeah,
I mean, you just can't stack the box the way you'd like to. So if the Woodbury ground game gets going, this is a team that
won touchdown for Jamil Wilson this week.
Yep, and he played really well against them last year against Bishop McNair before injury sort of nagged him later on in the season. He's so quick,
yeah.
And behind a big offensive line, he's one of those running backs that's, you know, he can get lost behind the mix. It's hard to find him, and once he hits the edge, he's gone. Yeah. So you better find him.
So, obviously, Lindell had a big week. Another guy who had a big week, Tyquan Rose, and the rest of the gang up at Almar. Almar has playmakers on playmakers on playmakers. I think they're still just trying to figure out how to get everybody the ball. And they were able to get it done against Kettle Run, despite some turnover problems that we'll talk a little bit about later. But Tyquan Rose, huge game for him. Another big explosive play for him.
Yeah, 155 yards for him. We were waiting for this a little bit last week against Brookville, and Brookville sort of kept that from happening.
Right.
Good for them.
Ridiculous. By the way, Brookville's secondary, as you know, Western found out, got to be the first time I've ever seen a Western team post 0 yards passing. They found out, I mean, Brookville's secondary is loaded. It's really good. It's good top to bottom. They got four guys, I think, who are returners back there.
Yeah, Brookville, getting back to the Louisa connection, I think John Meeks has always been the thorn in Western Albemarle's side.
He is a little bit. Zach Jackson, yeah, back in the day, yeah.
Go back a long ways, even back to the 2009 season and all that. But getting back to Albemarle, I mean, you got to be happy with the way that the distribution of the offense. Jaquan Anderson has an opportunity to put up some serious numbers when you have a guy like Rose. And Jamal Thompson and all these other pieces around him, and then his own legs. So I think that's a big win for Albemarle, and getting their sort of premier receiver, premier player involved in a big way in week two there means a lot for that offense, confidence-wise.
Albemarle, like you said, playmakers on playmakers on playmakers. When they get this stuff figured out and they kind of get everybody clicking in the right, they're going to be dangerous because they've got at least five guys, like that you're going to have a tough time matching up with them. And if you got to match up with all four of them, all five of them at one time, you're going to have problems.
And I like the way the schedule's working for them, playing Brookville early, on the road against Kettle Run. You got Patrick Henry coming up this week. So they're really going to head into their Jefferson District slate, having taken a couple punches. You've really gone up against some of the bigger schools, the kind of schools that they'll see in the playoffs that they could make it there, which is what you need to do when you're a 5A school that plays a lot of 4A and 3A teams.
Yeah, no question about it. So when we kind of skip over to Marcus Burton over at Goosen, we talked a little bit about it already. The guys in a year where we have a ton of power backs in this area, guys who can really mash, Marcus Burton, add his name to the list. Marcus Burton is one of those guys. He will not go down, just does not stop. He's another fun one to watch. And Pal Alley out at Fort Union. Donovan Benoit was getting a lot of the carries early. He's more the power back with Pal Alley sort of serving as the speed component. Benoit got hurt. That left Pal Alley to kind of, I don't know, it looked like Fort Union just really switched over and started throwing the ball as much as they possibly could. But Fort Union's going to be a work in progress this year. But Pal Alley gives them a piece to really work with.
He showed so many signs of it last year as a freshman. He's just a gifted athlete.
Yeah.
He really can fly, and he's tough as nails. So, I mean, that's exactly what that program needs, especially given the roster depth. You need a guy that can just sort of be your go-everything, do-everything player. Early on in the Mike Hooper era, and he talked about it before the season began, how important it was for them to just sort of figure things out. New coach, not exactly going to be a new system. He was the JV coach at Fork Union for a very long time. He coached a lot of these players, so they know him, but just getting everything figured out at the varsity level, and their schedule going forward is tough.
It's a doozy.
They do not play small-time schools.
And I thought the quarterback, his first start, Luke Wilson, I thought he looked pretty solid. He made some good throws, seemed to largely make good decisions. They might have a little something there with him. He was obviously better, just like any quarterback is, when he had Benoit in there, really kind of wrecking shop up the middle. And they kind of had Gutchlin on skates for a little bit there at the very beginning. Gutchlin, though, adjusts really well. Dan Summitt really knows what he's doing out there, defensive coordinator. So fun to see that sort of adjustment, see that sort of change. And I think Fort Union, though, I think will continue to get better as the year goes on.
As they figure things out on the offensive and defensive line, that's a really sort of area of need, just in terms of numbers. They just need bodies.
They got some guys in there last week.
And it's a school that adds kids as the season goes on, which makes them a little bit unique in that department. So I think we're going to see I think we talked about it as a team that it's really going to grow as the season goes along. Might not reflect necessarily in the record, but I think
they're
going to see
a
lot of progress. Yeah,
no question. Let's go to big trends. There were two big ones this week, and one that really, one of those two is really going to kind of play itself out this week. But let's start with the turnover bug. We've got some teams, that had some problems turnover-wise. One of them, it cost them a win. That's Madison County. It looks like, they're able to kind of hold on the ball. I think five total turnovers. If they're able to hold on to it, I think that, obviously it's good. It probably turns their way in that one.
Yeah, Luray has just always been this team that Madison always loses to in the sort of thrilling but heartbreaking fashion.
Sure.
They've had overtime losses. It's always a one-possession game. In this case, just too many turnovers. Some of that's protection-related. Some of it's just, decision-making stuff. You got to protect the ball. That's always been Madison's MO. When they've been good, they've been teams that they don't fumble. It's not a team with bad snaps, center exchange issues. Quarterbacks aren't sort of throwing into double coverage or across their body or those kind of things. Strong ball carriers, that stuff. So if Madison takes care of that, they still put up great numbers. If they take care of that, they win that game easy. And they're sitting at 2-0 instead of 1-1. And then Albemarle was the other.
That's big points too. Let's hold that out. I mean, Luray's going to win some games.
Mm-hmm.
Those are important points, and that could really kind of come back to bite Madison a little bit.
A win like that is the difference between hosting in the first round and traveling.
Yeah,
if you're
could come down to that certainly, and I think that's tough to know.
Yeah, it's frustrating to think that so much matters early on in the season.
Mm-hmm.
You want to think that it's really about the push down at the end, but little things, they add up quickly. And all it takes is a turnover here or there to really sort of tinker with your season in the playoffs, especially at the 2A level.
Yeah.
We expect Madison to be in that mix with the Gutchlins and
so forth. Odds are good. Madison's going to get in. I mean, they're going to be in the playoffs, so some of this is about positioning, and you've got to kind of take care of those kind of, business situations. On the flip side, Albemarle has turned the ball over quite a bit in the first 2 weeks of the season. They've kind of been turning the ball, but they're able to kind of gut it out and get the win this week.
Yeah, and they're an overtime away from sitting at 2-0.
Yeah, against a really good Brookville team.
So what does this Albemarle team look like when they stop giving away possessions?
Absolutely.
And that's a huge plus for them. Yeah, I mean, these are fixable problems. I mean, that's the nice thing about turnovers is it's a teaching moment, regardless of where it happens. I mean, whether it's fumbling, interceptions, or center exchanges, these are all things that you can work on and practice, get more comfortable with. Some of it is you've got a lot of players who are new. They've got jitters.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
And maybe, and I think that some of that kind of settles in as the season goes on. I think as also you've got to note that it matters, how you take care of the ball, but you don't want to get to a point where you're playing just to protect the ball. You've got to kind of play loose. You've got to play free.
Oh, absolutely.
And, we're going to see guys, they're going to figure out that balance.
Yeah, there is a huge, in the passing game, risk-reward.
Yeah. You don't want Jaquan Anderson. You want him to continue trusting his receivers. He's doing a darn good job of that. He's trying to put it into those guys' hands. You want guys to have confidence. Jaquan Anderson plays with confidence. I think that's important. And he's not the only guy, that is running. I mean, and obviously he's making up for it, running for over 100 yards. He's throwing for over, I think he probably got over the 200-yard mark or got somewhere close. And, he ends up getting it done. And that's the big thing, too, is that those guys at Almar keep bouncing back from those turnovers. They're still in it. Like, they aren't turning, you know, dropping their heads. They keep playing. They keep playing hard. If they're able to kind of clean that stuff up a little bit, they're going to keep getting more and more dangerous.
Yeah, you never want those things to change the play calling like you're talking about there. And getting back to a little bit, like, a team like Louisa that holds on to the ball for 7 minutes at a time, you just can't give them an extra 7 minutes of clock.
Absolutely not. No.
Teams like Goochland, you can't give them that because they take advantage of it and they really make you pay for it in more than just one way, more than just points on the board.
I mean, Goochland all but play keep away against Fork Union in that, you know, second half. And so when Calvin Martin gets an interception or they pick up a fumble recovery, like, those things are really, really tough. You're right. Like, I mean, when those teams play ball control offense, it's going to be difficult.
I think time of possession is maybe the most underrated stat in high school football. It makes such a difference, especially for teams that are playing kids on both sides of the ball.
No question about it. But, and the other, so the other big trend this week, and it just sort of projects into next week, is how do you bounce back from, you know, a blowout loss?
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, It's hard to know, but we've got three teams that have the potential to do it.
Yeah.
We've got Western, we've got Charlottesville, we've got Orange County. Those three schools all get a chance to try and kind of bounce back in the next couple of weeks after taking really tough losses. Orange ran into a freight train.
Yeah, this is the biggest defensive line and offensive line I've seen in quite some time. So they held tight with Eastern View in that first half. They are an interception away in the third quarter from making that a game. Penalties just really killed Orange. They came so close to blocking a punt. I have no idea how it wasn't blocked. Trey Smith gets in, I mean, just absolutely bum rushes the punter and gets up in the air, and it must have just slipped through his hand somehow. But he's a big boy. Once he's up in the air, he's got to land on something. And it turns out to be the punter. They get drive that is extended. They've got that big offensive line, and so Montrez Orange was their running back. He was a beast, and so that gave them an extra touchdown, 13-0 going into the half, and then a pick six when they were driving sort of put things away. But what I liked about Orange is their attitude after the game. This wasn't heads hanging low. They were obviously upset that they're losing to an Eastern View team to get shut out like that. But they know that there's so much of the season left for them. They also get a Spotsylvania team that just fell to Fluvanna. I would not want to be Spotsylvania this week. That's going to be rough, yeah. Really rough. You're going to see an inspired performance from Trey Smith and D'Angelo Hunt. And then I thought Kenyon Carter was a bright spot at quarterback for Orange. He made a lot of plays. Even just little ones, whether it was just getting out of the pass rush that Eastern View was sending. Tough week for the Orange offensive line. I really thought Carter showed a lot of great signs at quarterback for a team that looks like they're going to be a little more diverse on offense than they were last year. I got it. And so for Orange, I think that they're going to be able to bounce back fairly quickly and get a little bit of that swagger back that they had against Culpeper heading into week four. Charlottesville got a week off to prepare for theirs after a tough game with Dominion. So I think 2 weeks probably helps them there. You got to see them, so your thoughts on
they got to fix this center to quarterback exchange. They got to fix some of the fumbles. They got to fix, you know, some of the things that we talked about that you can overcome. I think when you're more experienced, you can, you know, you look at it Almar. I think that if they have all those fumbles against Kettle Run last year, I think that they're going to have a tough time kind of getting back. But, you know, this is a Charlottesville team that seems ready and poised to kind of take another step. And I think that, you know, they get a chance to bounce back against the Harrisonburg squad. That's a manageable win, a manageable potential win, as long as they can kind of take care of the ball. I think that's a big part of the puzzle for them. So,
and then with Western, I think it was pretty obvious in the stats on that one. And you just got to see more of the passing game, the receiving. And
you got to not play Brookville secondary.
Yeah.
I think that's a good way to start. I think you want to avoid that as much as possible. But, yeah, Western's going to be fine. They're going to figure out ways to kind of get things done. They're probably somewhere in between the team that hammered Broadway in week one and the team that got hammered by Brookville. So they'll kind of settle back in and figure things out, certainly. So then two other, you know, topics we want to talk about, kind of a pleasant surprise. And for me, it's, you know, they didn't get the win, but William Monroe's passing game is there a little bit. you know, they've got a big offensive line, so they're going to be able to kind of run the ball and kind of move the ball that way. But Jordan Gray, maybe one of the more underrated names in the area, second team all-ball run kid last year, great receiver, runs great routes, just really good hands, and he had, I think, 80 yards on like 7 catches.
I think it was 8 for 81, yeah.
8 for 81. I mean, it just, you know, that's really solid numbers coming out of the gate for him. I think he's a guy who's, you know, got some real potential, and then they were able to kind of get another big tight end in Kyle Kruszewski. I mean, it's
2 touchdowns for him, yeah.
2 touchdowns for him. So Malik Shackford, those two guys coming back, really seems to be a nice little, you know, little potential right there in that passing game.
Yeah, and we saw last year Monroe really embracing the physical running attack, and I think they're going to do it again this year. So to see some passing in that mix together.
Could see some really nice balance out of the Dragons.
Yeah, we get to see them against Charlottesville. That should be a really interesting game.
Absolutely.
It's another surprise that sticks out is St. Anne's graduated everybody.
All the offense.
Yeah, everybody.
Gone.
And guys that were there for starters 3 years, over and over again. So they had growing pains like few others in this area. So for them to come out against Hargrave, pick up that win, you got Jalen Alexander, Juwan Woodson, 2 first half touchdowns for them. That was big. And the quarterback platoon, Thomas Harry, Chase Emmerett, they're getting worked in. That's good to see. And then Isaiah Kilby Sharp, who we sort of expect to be their playmaker all over the field for them, he got rolling in that one too. So big win for St. Anne's to come out of the gate there.
The other guy that's emerged as a playmaker for them, Miles Ward.
Yeah,
I believe that's right. I mean, he
had a pickoff. Yeah,
I mean, that's a guy who he's really tall, like he's kind of in the mold of some of the playmakers they've had in the last couple of years. Just a real versatile guy. Miles Ward, I think, is going to be a name that we're going to know by the end of this year and know well. So really pleasant little surprise from William Monroe's passing game, Stab getting it done with a bunch of new faces. So that'll about wrap it up for us. Thank you for sticking around. Thank you for listening to the Scripps Play Podcast, and we look forward to getting back with you next week.